Blog Talk Radio.
Fans, welcome to the show. Sun Guy and QT with you as always here on a Sunday afternoon. Hope you all are still staying safe out there. And I want to bring our guest today on right away. Very excited to have with us the pretty little psycho, Shauna Reed. Shauna, welcome to Turnbuckle Turmoil.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well. And I would like to let you know right off of the bat, we are making history today. I believe it is the first time ever I've ever done an episode of Turnbuckle Turmoil while wearing the hat of our guest of the week. You've made history here already.
Oh, yeah?
Well, since it is your first time with us, so I'm going to give you our first-timer's question right here. What led to you getting into the business of pro wrestling?
Well, I mean, I was a, you know, like a childhood fan of it. My brother kind of got me into it when we were younger, when we played the PS2 with the video games. So that's pretty much what got me into that.
At what point did you think that going from a video game to going to actual in-the-ring competitor and doing this as a profession was going to be right for you?
Probably when I first moved out of my parents' house. I turned back on WWE. It had been a few years, and I hadn't really watched anything. And so I just randomly, I remember that first night in my new apartment, I was just like, oh, well, for shits and giggles, I'm just going to turn on WWE and see what's going on. And, right away was the Shield was on there, and I instantly kind of just got, you know, attracted to that. And I'm like, oh, this is cool. And then I was like, maybe, you know, I wanted to do this when I was a little kid. I wonder what it would be like if this really happened.
Bringing things full circle, because the wrestling world is a small place. You turn on the TV and there is the Shield. One of those men, Dean Ambrose, was trained by the same person that trained you, Cody Hawk. How ironic was that?
It wasn't very ironic, because I kind of, you know, became a huge mark for Dean Ambrose. Like, you know, he was like my celebrity crush at that time. And I knew he was from Cincinnati. And so I looked up who trained him. I actually had a trainer prior to him, and things just didn't, you know, work out for that. So I looked up who trained Dean Ambrose, and Cody came up. And I ended up contacting Cody, and I asked if he trained girls, and he's like, yeah. And I pretty much started within the next few weeks after that.
Now, Cody Hawk is such a revered trainer. He's trained a lot of really great talents, a lot of the Midwest guys that have gone on to do good things came out of Cody's training camp. He was actually recognized by the Cauliflower Alley Club not too long ago. What was it like knowing that not only did you go to a great teacher, but one that the CAC formally recognized.
I mean, it makes me feel like, you know, I'm on the right path, you know. A lot of these kids that want to get into training, they will just go for people that are, you know, it's like the cheap ticket, like ones that are like cheap classes, and the trainer has no like no credibility at all, hasn't turned out anybody. So it makes me feel like I was in a step in the right direction when I left my old trainer to go to Cody's school, because obviously he's a great trainer, and your money's worth it, you know? Like, you can do great things when you get trained by him.
Now, for your own career, you have become part of a faction that is very well known in the Midwest, and they are starting to branch out a little bit. 5-minute warning, 5MW, if you will. How did you come to be part of 5MW?
Well, it's actually the 5 Most Wanted.
It is. I was just seeing if you were paying attention.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, I ended up, my first out-of-state booking was up in Port Huron, Michigan, and I ended up riding with Cody and Sean Casey at that time. And I was still very new, just even out on wrestling shows, and I was one of Cody's trainees, and he pretty much started, you know, introducing me to Sean, to Eric Smalls, to like Andrew up in Michigan, and they expressed interest in me joining, and I thought that would be, I mean, I thought it would be perfect, because, I mean, I have Sean Casey, I have Cody Hawk, I've got multiple people in different states around the country that are, like, have done great things, like, as like, mentors, as trainers. So I definitely hopped right on that bandwagon.
Last summer, we actually had a couple of members of 5MW up here in the Pacific Northwest. I believe it was the first time anyone in the group had been up here. And I know that at one point you were scheduled to make your Pacific Northwest debut before things had to be shut down for a while. What do you think it is that attracts 5MW up here in our neck of the woods in the Northwest?
I honestly think it's just all the, like, variety of people in the group, our added, our characters, every, you get a little bit of everything. I mean, there's Sean Casey, who is, well, let's just be flat out honest what he is. He is the sexy Sean Casey. He goes out there and does, like, a male stripper gimmick. He lives that life. That is Sean Casey. Then you got Big John Murray, who is, like, almost 7 foot tall, who's the head security of Poison and Brett Michaels. You have Cody Hawk, who is a world-renowned trainer and an amazing wrestler on the mic and in the ring. And then there's me, who just is, like, kind of a little bit crazy in my own mind, and I tend to do whatever the heck I want to do. So I think there's a little bit of everything for everyone.
I definitely agree with you there. Speaking of doing whatever you want to do, you did a thing quite a while ago that created a pretty big buzz and a good bit of controversy in the independent wrestling scene. You held the jacket of Paloma Star hostage for over a year. What possessed you to take the jacket of poor Paloma Star?
Poor Paloma Star. No, actually, I was doing a good deed, because after the war show, Paloma had so clumsily left her jacket and rode back to Chicago, leaving her jacket in Lima. And I was like, oh, if this stays here, she's obviously going to lose it, and she's never going to see it again. So I might as well keep it and make it worth something. So, in all honesty, I did her a favor. I took that jacket out of the country. That jacket's been to London, England. That jacket has been backstage at WWE a few times. That jacket's been all over the country. So I actually made the jacket a bigger star than Paloma will ever hope to be.
I see what you did there, a bigger star, and she is Paloma's star. I see what you did there.
I'll be here all week, folks.
We're just seeing if we each are paying attention, and we are. All right. Now, Paloma eventually got her jacket back. It took her over a year to do so. Do you have eyes on that jacket still? Do you have plans to maybe go back after that jacket?
Nah, I'm not really into sloppy seconds. So, she can have it. There's a few rips and tears in there. So, she can keep that one.
All right, I know I'm going to keep an eye on all of my belongings in locker rooms just in case you notice something of mine that you would like to wear.
Yep, I mean, take your items with you. Don't leave them so other people can take them. It's not my fault. I'm just a good citizen.
All right, we'll go with that. Now, we had a guest recently by the name of Wayne Silver. He is a referee out of Indiana. And I got him to admit that he sometimes gets into the heat of the moment and he fast counts people very quickly. He admitted to doing this when you had me pinned in a match at Hoosier Pro Wrestling once. He basically admitted that you got away with a fast count. Do you have a response to Wayne Silver?
You know, Wayne's probably been kicked in the head quite a few times or, has maybe been, he's kind of confused sometimes. Let's be honest, no one really wants to hear you complain all the time. So he could have just been saying that just so he could finally hear you stop blabbing about it. And I mean, you could, just be a man and just be like, look, I got beat by a girl on her very early in her career and just go on with your life.
I could, or I could point out that I kicked out, had a hold of the bottom rope and was pulling myself nearly to the floor at the time of the three count, but being the bigger man, I won't point that out.
There's a video of it. There's no proof of that, but okay.
I saw the video. I saw all of that happening. Wayne got finally admitted, hey, he was a little fast on the draw there.
I don't think so, but okay.
I also noticed you were quick to have Stompin' Steve come out to brutally assault me after that match. How long had you been planning that?
Actually, I wasn't planning that at all. That was just icing on the top of the cake. So, I mean,
I didn't even know there was cake.
Yeah, well, you ate some of it, so.
That might have happened when I was brutally concussed from all the choke slams and fast counting. Now, you mentioned earlier that you took Paloma's jacket over to London, England. You've done some international touring in your day. What do you think is the best part and the worst part about international traveling with wrestling?
Oh, the best part is meeting all these amazing people and seeing places that, it's not in your country. Like, London is amazing. I love London. I'm such a history buff that, and everything about London just makes me excited. Of course, the very long plane ride is never a fun time. I mean, I like to fly, but I'm not one for, long, 12-hour long rides in a very small row area. Those suck. And then also, the time difference sometimes sucks. And once you finally start getting used to the time frame over international, and then you have to come back home and get reused to it. That's kind of difficult as well.
Now, stateside, it was probably around a year or so ago, I know that you had a young fan that was not doing very well, and you helped put on a benefit for the family. I know that was a big deal for you and an important show on your resume. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got involved with the fan and were able to put on the benefit?
Well, I got involved. His name was Hayden. He actually passed away in a car accident, not this past April, but a year ago. I met him within my first few months of wrestling. I rode up to Pittsburgh to go to a Comic-Con. I think coincidentally to meet Finn Balor, or coincidentally Dean Ambrose. I don't remember which one it was. But we rode up there, and Hayden was, and his dad were in front of me in the line, and me and my friend were just talking about wrestling in general. And I think his dad overheard me say that I was a wrestler. So, you know, we talked the whole time in the autograph line and the photo op line. And then that night I was actually on a show in Pennsylvania. James Ellsworth's show that night somewhere in Pennsylvania. And they actually drove 45 minutes to come and watch me wrestle that night. So I thought it was really cool. And I always told myself, if I ever made anything of myself in wrestling, like if I ever made it to the top, I would always remember that little boy, Hayden, and I would, you know, try and do something for him if I ever made it to the top. But like I said, unfortunately, Hayden died tragically last year in a car accident. He was only 11 years old. So, but like, you know, me and his dad and Hayden have kept in contact this whole entire, throughout all the years. And I was like, when I found out he died, it just crushed me. And I wanted to do something because, you know, I never did make it big and get to keep that promise I kept to myself. So if I could at least put on a show or something, helped his dad out, who was also seriously injured in it, with medical bills or anything, I could at least do something in there.
I'm sure that was a big help for the family and things like that. Very hard usually to get through, even though you're out there performing and doing what you love to do. I know it plays an emotional toll on you. Was this the first time you'd ever organized a show like that on your own, where you were kind of leading the charge?
Yeah, I have never, done that. I've been blessed to be around people and get to know people that have been doing this, and so I kind of had a little bit of their help and guidance on how to do this and how to go about it. But yeah, that was my first time ever, I guess, really pulling the reins of anything.
Looking back just kind of at that experience and looking ahead into your future, do you ever foresee a day when you would open up your own wrestling promotion and run shows on the regular?
I personally don't see myself opening my own promotion. Here in Hamilton, Ohio, we have FGW. And, I see myself kind of maybe helping, not really book it, but kind of like just being a locker room leader and trying to, you know, maybe help people that come through Cody's training school a little bit. Maybe be a co-trainer one day at the school. But if I, you know, don't ever make it to the, you know, big leagues like everybody's dream is. But I really don't ever see myself doing actual promotion myself. That was, I give promoters so much credit. Like, it's a lot of work.
Once in a while, I will turn on my television set and I will see you on my television set on WWE programming. You've popped up there numerous times. I believe my very first words to you were, didn't I just see you on television the other day? What's it like when you make those appearances and then fans recognize you from having been on their television?
I mean, it's a dream come true. Like, you know, I grew up watching WWE, and even though my parts on WWE have been very small and very, like, in the back, at least, you know, I never thought I'd ever even be in the back of WWE, backstage, you know. I never thought, you know, I would get that. As someone who used to be bullied when I was a little girl, like, even making it to do extras talent is a huge thing to me, you know. So it's really, really cool, like, when, you know, even, like, if I'm just in the background, or I got to be up one time, and I've been in the No Way Jose conga line a few times, like, it's just any part that, you know, I get to do on there, and then when fans notice it, it's even a cooler experience.
After you were the paramedic, did you have anyone, be it a fan or a wrestler, just presume you were a trained paramedic and could help them if there was an injury?
Well, I am actually a nurse in real life, too, so that kind of helped out. I've definitely done my fair share of cleaning up wounds and putting shoulders back into place and trying to put tourniquets on people in the back after matches, after they, you know, have sliced themselves. So that's kind of, you know, been a thing. So it was actually kind of funny, because for that spot on WWE, we were out in Los Angeles, and the two people they picked to be paramedics were the actual two real life nurses in Shoot Life. So yeah, I've definitely done my fair share of being in the back of the locker room doctor before and after that spot was shown.
I'm going to remember that should we ever cross paths and I'm brutally injured during the course of a show. On rare occasion it happens.
Okay.
Well, at this point, my co-host of the show, QT, is standing by, and I know he has questions as well, so I'm going to pass you into the capable hands of QT Vokes.
Well, thank you, Sign Guy. Hello, Shauna.
Hi.
Shauna, I saw your YouTube video entitled Dreaded D. Rose Report WWE, WWF, OVW, and this match took place at Hoosier Pro Wrestling. I'm not sure why I'm giving you this description, because you were in the ring with Sign Guy. Was this the first time you had a tag partner named Fireball? That's what I'm trying to get at.
That was an actual person? Yes.
Oh, okay. I mean, that name Fireball stuck out in my mind because there's a brand of whiskey called Fireball.
Yep, that would be, he would be the first person that was, you know, I'd be in the ring with. Yep.
Okay, now looking back on that match, wouldn't it be ironic if your tag partner Fireball actually blew a fireball at Sign Guy? Would that be ironic?
That would be very ironic.
Because Sign Guy has himself taken a fireball at HPW. Yes.
Multiple
very
times.
Nice.
And that leads into my next question. Shauna, have you yourself ever been a recipient of a fireball, like from Gene Simmons?
No, I've been definitely a recipient of the fireball whiskey, but I choose to be smart and stay away from actual fire.
Oh, okay. Now, when I'm talking about Gene Simmons, you know who I'm talking about, right?
Yes, from Kiss.
Okay, the bass player, yes. Okay, all right. Well, Shauna, the announcer said that Sign Guy weighed 156 pounds. In your opinion, since Sign Guy got you in some holds and you also kicked him in the stomach, was he closer to 165? Were the 5 and 6 and 6 and 5 dyslexia? Do you think he weighed closer to 165?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, okay. So I guess the announcer, when he was handed Sign Guy's statistics to announce, he had dyslexia, 165.
Or Sign Guy just gave him the wrong statistics.
Oh, okay. That could be, yes. Okay.
Hey,
wow,
yeah,
okay.
It was the metric system. There's a little bit of a difference.
Okay. All right. Well, now, Shauna, when you were competing against your brother on the PS2, did you make up an aluminum foil PS2 belt?
Did I? No.
Oh, okay. Well, did your brother make up a belt? Did he steal like a rawhide strap from art class in junior high and use that rawhide belt to make a belt from art class?
No, none of that. He had little belts from WWE, but that's pretty much it.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. Well, now, did you have any backyard matches against your brother?
We had a few on the trampoline, a few in the pool, and then, you know, a few in the living room when me and him started actually getting in an argument. But other than that, yep.
Oh, okay. Well, who was the baby face and who was the heel, usually?
Obviously, I was the baby face.
Oh, all right. Okay. All right. Well, Shauna, HPW Commissioner Jerry Wilson told the crowd that every year Sign Guy flies in from Seattle. Have you ever asked Sign Guy if his arms get tired?
That I don't, but that's a good question.
Okay, just pull Sign Guy aside the next time and say, "Sign, you flew in from Seattle again. Are your arms tired?" And
okay,
somewhere, I believe in the crowd, you will hear a rim shot. Ba-ba-bump. Yes.
Exactly, or I'll make one.
Oh, okay. Very good. All right. Well, Shauna, at the 13-minute and 42-second mark, Sign Guy got you in a modified camel clutch, but you broke this hold about 8 seconds later. My question is, for those 8 seconds, did you feel the power that Sign Guy had in his wrists and forearms that in part have been built up by hauling books to and from the Seattle Free Library?
No, I didn't really feel any power at all.
Oh, okay. Now, when I say Seattle Free Library, do you know what that is?
No.
Oh, okay. At various spots in the Seattle metropolitan area, they have a stand where people can look at and take from and make deposits to mostly paperback books. You can browse and take a paperback book, maybe, hopefully, about wrestling, and then you could drop one off about wrestling or any arts and crafts or anything else, and then you kind of shut the small doors to the free library, which are on stands, and Sign Guy pretty much frequents those a lot, and he's hauled a lot of books over the years and built up his arms that way.
Very nice. You can tell.
Oh, okay. Well, now I am now inviting Shauna Reed. If you come out to Seattle, I myself will also come and hopefully meet you and pick out a book from Seattle Free Library for you, or Sign Guy will. It's an invitation.
Sounds like a plan.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Shauna, how do you think Paloma Starr would have done against Sign Guy that night if Paloma Starr had taken your place? Would Paloma Starr be a good tag team for Fireball? That's what I'm asking.
Well, I mean, she is a Sriracha muchacha, so probably.
Oh, okay. Do you think Paloma Star would have broken Sign Guy's modified camel clutch a little bit slower than you did? That's also a question.
Yeah, I think it would have taken her some time.
Aha! Uh-huh. That's what I thought. Okay, very good. All right. Well, Shauna, is it true that after the match that you challenged Stompin' Steve to an all-you-can-eat taco eating contest? Is that true?
I mean, rumors are rumors, but I'm not going to say yes or I'm not going to say no. But I'll just say this, the taco bar at the nearest Taco Bell was pretty good that night.
Taco Bell, yeah. I'm more of a Taco Time person. They don't really have Taco Time restaurants there in Indiana, do they? Taco Time?
Nope, I don't think so. I'm in Ohio, so I don't know.
Okay, all right, Ohio. Do they have any Waffle Houses in Ohio?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Now, is your favorite meal to eat at Waffle House smothered, scattered, and, well, what's another one? Smothered, scattered, and anyway, what they do to their hash browns. Is that one of your pre-match meals? Scattered, smothered? Yeah.
I can't say that is. That might be a post-drinking meal, though.
Okay. All right. Well, Shauna, we all have had a long drought from the COVID-21 lockdown. I mean, 19 lockdown. Can you tell us about your upcoming match with a woman who has wrestled for VCW in the state of Georgia, Cassandra Golden?
I mean, I have wrestled her once before in Missouri. So it's been a little over a year since then. So I'm very, very anxious to get back in the ring in general, but I have a lot of, let's say, pent-up aggression that's been, you know, because of COVID. So, and she just happens to be at the other end of that fun time.
Oh, can you tell us the results of your first match with this Cassandra Golden? How did that go?
Well, it was, let's just say first it was like Austin 316 day. So I, you know, threw a few stunners in there, which was a good time. And once I had her pinned, she rolled the pile over and, you know, grabbed my hair and the ref didn't see it. And she might have got the steal win on that one, but it isn't going to happen this time.
Wow. Well, that kind of sounds like Sign Guy's wrestling match against you at HPW. He
sure
wasn't
does.
Exactly. Okay. I'm going to guess this Cassandra Golden was about 5'8" tall. And although I usually don't guess a woman's weight, she probably weighed about 129 pounds. Am I pretty close?
I think me and her are about the same height, and I'm 5'9". But
okay.
Like I said, it's been quite a while, so I don't really remember.
All right. Okay. Well, Shauna, did you take Paloma Starr's jacket to England with you?
Yes.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all right. My next question is, are there any truths to the rumors that you modified her jacket and you converted it into a rocker jacket or a mod jacket? The rock group Who sang about the mods and the rockers on their album Quadrophenia, and the mods and the rockers had a 1963 rumble at Brighton by the Sea. I'm just asking if you converted your jacket into a mod or rocker jacket. That's what I'm trying to ask.
I can't say I did that.
Oh, okay. Because the mods were pretty much nicely dressed, and they drove a motorized bike around or a motorcycle called a Vespa. That's what the mods were known for. And the rockers were pretty much leather-clad hoodlums. Yes.
Gotcha.
I'm just wondering if you also, I guess you did not convert Paloma Star's jacket to a mod or rocker, but would you consider having a mod versus rocker match with Cassandra Golden, with you taking the role of a mod?
Yeah, I guess we could do that.
All right, because I myself would pay big money to see you ride down to the ring on a Vespa.
Yeah, yes. I think that'd be a good time.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Shauna, do you see Sign Guy making a special trip to Cody Hawk's training camp and enrolling in the no-contact cardio training for the weekly price of $10? Could you see Sign Guy making a Cody Hawk's training camp?
Probably not.
No contact cardio. Well, I only say this because Sign Guy's goal is to someday take a shot at two-time 800-meter Olympic champ David Rudisha, who holds the 800-meter world record of 1 minute 40.9 seconds for the 800 meters. They call it 100 seconds for two laps. That's Sign Guy's goal.
Well, good luck to him.
But Sign Guy has a stipulation run, and he's withdrawing one lap. So it's one lap in 100 seconds. Sign Guy.
Oh.
Yes. David Rudisha versus Sign Guy. Yes. All I'm saying is Jerry Wilson would put something on the track to hinder Sign Guy. That's what I've heard, to hinder his shot at the 800-meter world record. Yes.
Well, good luck.
Okay. All right. Well, Shauna, when do you predict that we will see the debut of artificial intelligence wrestling, mostly accomplished by the connection of the human genome and the 5G technology? When do you think we'll see the artificial intelligence in the wrestling ring?
I have no idea, but I'm not putting anything past me nowadays. This world's crazy enough as it is. So is the business right now.
I hear that. Just picture like a miniature human cyborg like the Terminator in wrestling. I think it's coming. Yes.
Probably.
Okay. Well, Shauna, in your opinion, will the WWE debut two female wrestlers named Alexa and Siri?
Probably at some point. They'll probably be very good at directions.
Can you see a future Alexis versus Siri's Hell in a Cell match by September?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. 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 Well, Shauna, besides wrestling your brother, did you have an athletic background in high school? Did you play volleyball or basketball?
I did basketball and softball.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm going to guess in basketball, you were a power forward.
I was pretty much everywhere. I didn't give a shit what they wanted me. I was wherever the ball was.
Now, what did you get better satisfaction from, a three-pointer or an assist?
three-pointer.
Okay, three-pointer. Okay. Wow, that's a, okay. And you said you
I didn't
played
make softball. Many of them, but when it happened, it was great.
Oh, okay. All right. Have you ever seen any photographs of the 7'7" Manute Bol, who used to play in the NBA in the mid-80s?
Yeah.
Manute Bol. Oh, have you ever seen the video of him sinking a three-pointer?
I have not, but I've seen him at, like, they have him, they have a statue of him or something at, like, the Ripley's, believe it or not. So that's where I see him.
Oh, okay. How do you think, if Manute Bol could rise from the dead and time travel, how do you think he would do against Sign Guy in a match? 7'7",
oh.
Manute Bol.
Oh, it would be a less than a second long match.
I think Sign Guy could perform maybe a single leg takedown on Manu Bol.
I think that his that guy's legs are taller than Sign Guy.
Ow.
Okay. Who would have a better shot at David Rudisha's 800-meter world record of 1 minute 40.9 seconds if they ran one lap, Manute Bol or Sign Guy?
Whatever his name is, Manute Bol or whatever.
Manute Bol, okay. All right. Okay. Well, Shauna, what position did you play on your softball team? I'm going to take a quick guess here and say that you played right field.
No. I was shortstop, pitcher, and sometimes catcher.
Wow. All right. That's quite a few positions. Did you play all 4 years in high school for your softball team? All 4 years?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Can we have your pitching record for all 4 years? What was give us a ballpark figure?
Well, they didn't use me as pitcher a lot, so I would say I probably pitched maybe, honestly, over all the 4 years, I probably pitched 4 innings out of all the 4 years. So that shows you how good of a pitcher I was. I was mainly shortstop.
Oh, okay. All right. Because in the comic strip Peanuts, Snoopy played shortstop. Yes.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. I'm just saying, I don't think you caught any ground balls with your teeth. That would rip your dental.
No, I can't say I did.
Wow, okay. Did your high school make it to any state tournaments?
We did not.
Okay, all right. Well, what's the name of your high school, Shauna?
Fairfield High School.
Fairfield, okay. Can I ask the mascot of Fairfield High School?
We are the Fairfield Indians.
Oh, the Indians. Okay. And what were your school colors?
Red and white.
Red and white. Okay. This is being recorded in our guest journal what their high school was and what their mascot and colors were. You are now entered.
Oh, I'm honored.
Oh, okay. Well, at this time, I'm going to give it back over to Sign Guy, and I hope that you have a leather jacket that you can convert into a mod or rocker jacket. I'd pay big money to see that.
I'll get working on that for you.
Oh, okay. And hopefully, I'm just saying that if you go over to England again, you can visit Brighton by the Sea. With a
exactly.
Okay. Back to you,
Sunday. Thank you, QT. Well, Shauna, since the wrestling, as far as live shows, has been curtailed, and we're just now starting to ease back into live shows popping up here and there, what have you been doing in order to maintain conditioning so once things are up and running, you're able to get in there and be able to perform?
Well, we never really stopped. We had cardio non-contact training, and I would do that about 5 days a week. And then I've been boxing quite a bit lately, doing, you know, the workouts with my boxing instructor, no contact. So those have definitely helped, you know, kind of keep me in a little bit of shape, hopefully, for in-ring return action, that kind of stuff.
We've seen the NWA World Women's Champion Thunder Rosa transition into some boxing and into some mixed martial arts in addition to pro wrestling. She's been fairly successful thus far. Do you think that transitioning from wrestling and into boxing and potentially down the line into MMA is something you would want to actually do and be able to compete in all of the combat sports, or are you going to focus mainly on wrestling with boxing as sort of a conditioning tool?
I'm pretty much focusing mainly on wrestling with boxing as conditioning. You know, boxing is an amazing workout, and as a female wrestler, I travel the roads alone a lot of the time. And before I started boxing, I really didn't know how to really defend myself. So it's pretty much more of just the conditioning for wrestling, but then it also helps out if, God forbid, I ever need to protect myself.
Well, you might have to. I might challenge you to a boxer versus wrestler match for our rematch, and then, you know, get someone other than that Wayne Silver to officiate it.
Okay, sounds good to me.
All right, someone book that, please. Now, speaking as I did of Thunder Rosa, she announced this last week that she is opening up a brand new all-female promotion where every position in the company is going to be a female, from the in-ring talent to producers to announcers to everything else. What do you think of Thunder Rosa opening up a promotion like that where it's going to be an exclusively female company?
I think it's amazing. I hope to get to work for it someday. I have, you know, put my information out there for her. I've always wanted to wrestle Thunder Rosa. So, like I said, I think the company is exactly what wrestling needs right now, especially right now with the craziness going on in it. I think the women in that division, in that company, are going to do great things. So I hope someday I get to be a part of it.
I wouldn't mind seeing you pop up there, and if Thunder Rosa's listening, maybe she could book you versus me in that wrestler versus boxing match as a side attraction.
There you go.
So Thunder Rosa, if you're listening, and I don't see why you wouldn't be, you know, book it, please. Now, there's one video that we came across recently, and I believe it was the Dream of Sexy Sean Casey. There was a video where Bret Michaels of Poison gave a shout out to your home promotion, and then a lot of the people in said promotion did a video thanking him for the shout out. Can you tell us a little bit about what this was, and was it in fact Sean Casey's biggest dream in life?
I don't think it was Sean Casey's biggest dream in life. But Big John works for, you know, Bret. He's his assistant, his head of security. So Big John's been living with him for the past few months out in Arizona and kind of helping do some renovations to his house out there and kind of help with the tour and everything. So John has always, you know, like made, had Bret like kind of watch wrestling and watch, I guess, the Five Most Wanted, which is really cool in my end because I'm a huge 80s rock fan. So that one day, John just sent that video to me. He sent it to Cody. He sent it to a few of us and then put it on our FGW board, and it was, like, amazing. And then we're all, like, so we decided to make a music video that I actually produced. It was pretty fun that I got to produce that. We did all the FGW locker room did a like kind of their own music video to one of Bret's songs.
Producing that video, did that give you the motivation to look into the producing aspect of wrestling, where maybe you do a little bit of backstage producing of vignettes and interviews for TV productions?
I would definitely be into doing that. I've definitely got more, I've been starting to really do that backstage at FGW. I've been getting to produce some of the like extra content that we've had going. So it's definitely something that I'm into.
A lot of fans don't necessarily appreciate or recognize how hard it is to produce things like that. And in today's wrestling climate, there's so much content being produced, not only from the major companies, but a lot of the independent companies either are partnered with a live streaming service where they produce content for YouTube, where they produce DVDs. So there's a lot of content that gets produced, and a lot of times on the independent level, the people that produce the shows, they're not going to have a whole lot of time to get these things done in order to have a successful live stream or a successful DVD shoot. How important do you think it is for people within the wrestling industry to kind of study the production end of it, so when they do have television shoots, they're fully prepared to be able to get this done in a timely manner for the promotion?
Well, learning all kinds of different skills instead of just wrestling is always going to be a bigger help for workers, because there are some promotions that, you know, you may want to work for, but they don't necessarily need a wrestler at that moment. They, you know, would need, like, someone who's good with video, someone, you know, that can produce things. So, like, I think it's very important to have multiple, like, skills in that area of the business, because it helps you have much more respect for the people that do it, because it is a tough job, and it just, it, like I said, gives more respect for people that don't necessarily take the bump, but they have a very hard time and work very hard behind the scenes.
Young wrestlers that I have told that exact same thing to, there's your verification. I was right. Well, looking at the landscape with television and the live streaming and all that type of thing, do you think that the live streaming and putting content on YouTube, in the grand scheme of things, do you think that helps the independent wrestling community, or do you think that it takes away just because people watch the stream and the content rather than physically going out and watching the matches live?
Well, right now, it's like, because of the kind of world we're in right now the live streaming is helping keep wrestling relevant. Like, if people, like for instance, in Florida, they can have shows, but in Ohio, we still can't. So these live streams are for, like, I obviously can't travel down to Florida just to go watch a live wrestling show right now. So that's kind of helping. But I think, like, when it is, like, normal world again, and live streaming can both help your business and your brand and kind of kill it too, just for the pure fact that I could, why would I, if you're running a show 10 minutes down the road from me, why would I go pay a ticket if I can watch it on my phone and not spend money? But I mean, me as a huge wrestling fan, I would still go, I'd rather be there in person. But say, like, there's a promotion and a storyline, everything that I'm watching that's based out of California, that's helping get their name, their brand and everything, you know, to, like, different places. So I think it's a very good, and it's got mutual, like, kind of things. It can be good and bad.
Agreed. Well, we got a few minutes left in the show today, and I want to give you ample time. So if there's anything you would like to say to the listeners today, anything you want to plug and promote, merchandise, social medias, your favorite laundromat, anything in the world, floor is yours.
Well, you can follow me. I have multiple social media things. You can follow me just on Facebook, Shauna Reed, or the Pretty Little Psycho Shauna Reed for my like page. I do have a Patreon page that gets exclusive content and merch and gear and all that kind of stuff. It's never before seen stuff. That is patreon.com/prettylittlepsychoshaunareed. You can subscribe to that. My Instagram is Shauna_Reed. I really don't use Twitter, but if you would like to follow me, it's Shauna Reed 93. But like I said, I am barely on that at all. And I have discovered in the quarantine TikTok. So if you are bored and just want to see some of my silliness, you can, if you have the TikTok app, you can follow at Shauna Reed Wrestler, all one word, and just see the shenanigans and the stupidness that I have decided to do. But that's pretty much it. And if you like any, want any merch, all my pictures on all of those are all for sale, and you can just contact me.
Well, fans, she does have good merchandise. I'm currently wearing some, so I can vouch for that. And definitely once live shows start picking up again, if Shauna is on a card near you, buy a ticket. She's absolutely fantastic at what she does. I know firsthand. So support her and make sure you support wrestling when it gets back. And at some point, hopefully, you'll get to see myself versus Shauna in a wrestler versus boxer match. That'll be worth double
there
the price of admission.
There you go.
All right. Well, Shauna, thank you so much for being on today. We appreciate it. I hope you continue to be safe, and I'm sure our paths will cross in the not-too-distant future.
Sounds great. You too.
All right, fans, be safe out there. We will be back with you next week. 1 week from today, we're doing our Wrestlers Salute to Baseball. So that's going to be a fun show. Make sure you join us for that. And we'll talk to you soon.
She has suffered.